We've talked about the connection between warming ocean temperatures and stronger storms like Harvey and Irma. Sea surface temperatures have been going up over the past century, and they've been consistently higher over the last 30 years than at any time since 1880 when observations began. So how are rising water temperatures being felt in the deep ocean? Joining us now is Andrew Sweetman, who is Associate Professor at the Lyell Center for Earth and Marine Science and Technology at Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, Scotland. He's on Skype. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
And are temperatures warming in the deepest parts of the ocean, or are the changes in temperature only happening at the surface?
No, there's vast areas of, for example, the Pacific Ocean, where intermediate water layers at around 500 to 600 meters have actually warmed quite significantly over the last couple of decades. And what we're predicting is that with continued CO2 emissions, we're likely to see some of these increases in the deep sea rise by as much as 3 to 4 degrees in certain areas.
What are the effects of that on the ocean floor?
There's going to be a number of effects. Some of the effects include a reduction in body size of the animals. Their metabolism will go up. There will also be a poleward shift of the fauna. And we're actually seeing that in certain parts of the world, for example, in Antarctica, where we're getting invasion by certain crabs on the Western Antarctic Peninsula.
How much life is down at the bottom of the ocean?
A massive amount. And not just in terms of sheer number of animals, but the biodiversity of the organisms is also very, very high. And more importantly, we rely on the services that the deep ocean provides, for example, carbon storage, uptake of heat, nutrient cycling, all of these things that we don't really realize are being provided by the deep ocean, we're actually very, very dependent on. And it's a very, very stable system. So any minor changes in environmental parameters, whether they be temperature, the pH or the acidity of the water, the oxygen concentration or the amount of food that is sinking from the surface ocean down to the deep sea, if there's even a minor change on these, we may see significant impacts at the deep sea floor.
Well, we've been talking about the temperature changes. What about the pH and acidity changes and how those are impacting life on the ocean floor?
Well, in terms of pH, for example, certain areas of the deep sea will be subject to a pH decline of around 0.3 or 0.35 pH units, which is quite significant. Also, oxygen concentrations in certain parts of the ocean will decline, and those types of changes are very, very big changes for animals living at the interface or at what are called oxygen minimum zones. So these are zones in the ocean where the oxygen is very, very low. And at the interface where you come out to the oxygen minimum zone, there's sort of like a zone where animals requiring more oxygen live, situated in very close proximity to animals that don't require that much oxygen. And if the oxygen falls a little bit, it will displace those animals.
And what's causing the oxygen to fall?
Various things. For example, increased upwelling along certain countries due to changes in atmospheric heat. And what happens when you have upwelling, you have lots of nutrients coming up to the surface, fueling primary production or the growth of algae. And then when these algae die and sink to the seafloor, they deplete the oxygen in the water column. Perhaps one of the biggest stresses that's going to occur by 2100 is changing food supply. So across vast areas of the deep ocean, the organisms rely on the trickle down of organic matter coming down from the surface ocean. And what we are predicting is that by 2100, certain areas will lose as much as 55% of their food supply. So you're going to get potentially quite significant changes occurring in an environment that is naturally very, very, very stable. And when you have a very stable environment, the organisms, they're not able to adapt as quickly as, for example, humans to a 1 degree temperature increase. That's fine for us. We experience that every day. the organisms at the deep sea floor, they are not really used to large changes in temperature, oxygen, energy, or pH. And what we are predicting is that by 2100, they will be experiencing massive changes relatively to what they're used to naturally. And this is going to have profound consequences on deep ocean life and the functions and the services that the deep ocean is providing mankind.
Is there any way to reverse this trend?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't really know. The way climate change is going and the way that we're burning fossil fuels right now, it looks like climate change will continue if we don't stop. But what we can do something about is it's not just about climate change that's going to be impacting the deep ocean floor. By 2100, we're going to be fishing deeper, and we're fishing deeper now. We're potentially going to be extracting minerals from the deep ocean floor. We're going to be trying to get more oil and gas. So even if it will take a lot longer for us to combat climate change, what we can do is not add even more stresses into the mix by significantly disturbing vast areas of the deep ocean floor through deep sea mining, for example. In the Central Pacific Ocean, the change in food supply by 2100 is going to be potentially around 35%. At the same time, in that area, the Clarion-Clipperton Zone, it's a big area where they're planning on mining polymetallic nodules. Now, a single mining operation will be disturbing 300 to 800 square kilometers of seafloor per year per mining operation. And just to give you an idea about the area that is being targeted for mining, it's about the size of about 90% of the contiguous United States of America, that area. If you drew a line from, let's say, California all the way to Ohio, that distance is going to be mined in the Central Pacific.
Well, is anybody in your scientific community raising alarms about this and about the health of the ocean floor in general?
Yes, we are. We are. It's a very big topic in terms of deep sea science right now. And there's some really, really great, fantastic people involved in trying to work out what the effects are and trying to advise policymakers, if they are going to mine, how to do it in the best way possible. What we're not able to do right now, and what would be really great to do if we could get funding for this, would be to actually look at the combined effects from, for example, deep sea mining and climate change, or climate change and, for example, an oil spill.
If somebody is listening to this and thinking, you know, we've got a lot of problems here on the surface. We don't need to be worried about the effects down on the deep ocean floor. What would you say to them?
That's another very, very interesting question. Just to give you an idea, the deep ocean provides a lot of services to mankind. So, for example, all the fisheries are along the west coast of the Americas, South America and North America, they are supported by the rich, productive waters that upwell along the western coast of the United States. Now, these are rich, productive waters because of the nutrients are upwelling along the coast there, along up the continental slope and up onto the shelf, and supporting lots of algal production, which is supporting lots of zooplankton production, which is supporting lots of fisheries production, which we rely on. Now, these nutrients that are upwelling, they're actually produced in the deep ocean. So if we disturb the deep ocean significantly, in 100 or 200 or 300 years' time, we're going to start seeing significant effects of what we're doing right now. But it's not just what happens in a couple of hundred years. I mean, deep ocean change, it will be affecting ecosystems that we as humans rely on within my lifetime. So the effects are not so distant from us.
That's Andrew Sweetman, who is an associate professor at the Lyell Center for Earth and Marine Science and Technology at Harriet Watt University in Edinburgh, Scotland. Andrew Sweetman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.